Tonight is Tuesday night, February 12th, or third day of the month of Adar. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Masechas Sukkah Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai, we're on the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph, and if you remember correctly, on the bottom of Mem Ches Amud Beis last week, we learned the Gemara that on the day in which the tzduki was pelted with rocks, the mizbeach was damaged, and they somehow filled it in a little so that the mizbeach will not look damaged, despite the fact that it was not necessarily kosher. And on the top of the page of Memtes Amud Aleph, the Gemara said, "Shekol mizbeach she'ein lo kevesh velo keren," if it doesn't have a ramp, if it doesn't have kranot, four corners, velo yisod, velo ribua, and it's not exactly a perfect square, pasula avoida. So there is some debate, the Gemara said that the reason why they filled in it, even though it wasn't kosher, shelo yireh hamizbeach pagum. And some comment that this is not necessarily on the Mizbeach, but rather it reflects poorly on the Kohanim, whose responsibility is to protect the dignity of the Mikdash. There is a pasuk in Parshas Korach. After the Korach rebellion, the Torah spends an entire perek describing the charge of the Kohanim. It outlines many of the Matnos Kahuna, and it says, Ushmartem es mishmarti, you have to guard that which is precious unto me, that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. You have to make sure that the Mishkan, the Mikdash, is indeed protected. So if the Mizbeach is damaged, it reflects poorly on the Kohanim who are assigned the task of Shmirah, that they obviously didn't do their job. Yes, people are throwing stones, and the danger is that if the stone might damage the Mizbeach, that's something that doesn't speak very poorly, doesn't speak very well of the Kohanim. But there is also some debate in the Rishonim as to whether or not this psul of Pigam will impact other utensils of the Mikdash or not. Or is it only the Mizbeach where they went ahead and filled it, Kidoi Shelo Yihyeh Mizbeach Nireh Kipagum? Let's assume they were throwing stones, and one of the stones hit the menorah, which was opposite the Mizbeach. Would there be that concern as well? You know what? We have to fill the damage in the menorah so that it should not look a pogum. And the Rav once said that he thinks in this regard, the Mizbeach is somewhat different than the rest of the utensils. There is, we know that, for example, in Bayis Sheni, there was no Aron HaKodesh. No Aron in the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech had a dream on the night that he built the Beis HaMikdash that he saw in a vision that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So he built a tunnel on the Har HaBayit, and he said to his children and to every one of his children, if you see that the destruction of the Mikdash is imminent, take the Aron, put it into this tunnel, lock it up and throw away the keys. And that's exactly what Tzidkiyahu did, witnessing that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. And that's why when they made Raiders of the Lost Ark, they didn't film it in the right location, because they're looking somewhere in Egypt. I know exactly where the Aron is. It's somewhere in the Har HaBayit. You just have to dig down, and supposedly we'll find it. So despite the fact that in this week's Parsha, we're going to read about the Klei HaMikdash, the Klei HaMishkan, and the very first one is the Aron, apparently the Aron, in and of itself, is not Me'akev in Kedushas HaMikdash, because you can have an Aron which is not visible at all. Yeah, it's there under the surface, but in the Mikdash there is no Aron, And everything yet went on very nicely on Yom Kippur. They had the Evan Shasiya, a stone, and the Avodas Yom HaKippurim took place without the Aron. Yet, that's not true. That's true with all the utensils, with the exception of a Mizbeach. The Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBchira, what is the purpose of building a Mikdash? Okay, if I asked you, what is the purpose of building a Mikdash? So the Rambam says, Mitzvas aseh min ha-Torah livnos beis ha-bchira lahakriv oleha karbanos. So the Rambam defines that the very essence of the building itself, the purpose of the Mitzvah of the Mikdash, is just to facilitate karbanos. And as a result, the Mizbeach plays a more central role, believe it or not, than the Aron does. And in fact, the Rav went on to explain that for this reason, there are two parshios in the Torah that describe the Chanukah HaMizbeach. One is at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. When in Parshas Tetzaveh, they are about to... Excuse me, one of Parshas Pekudei, where they are anointing all of the utensils of the Mikdash, and they anoint the Mizbeach just like you anoint and dedicate the menorah and the shulchan and the aron. In that parsha, the aron, the mizbeach, does not appear as a separate entity. It's just one of many utensils of the mikdash. But then, Rabotai, think about another parsha which focuses only on the Chanukah HaMizbeach. Parshas Naso. We read the Nesiim. On Chanukah and the Parshas Naso, we read the Nesiim. Why is there a separate dedication only of the Mizbeach? Why wasn't the Meshicha enough to dedicate the Mizbeach just like the rest of the Kalim? So the Rav suggested, because the Mizbeach has two functions. One, it is a Kli HaMikdash like all the other Kalim. And secondly, it represents the very essence of the Mikdash. So one Parshan, Parshas Pekudei, is the dedication of the Mizbeach as one of the utensils of the Mikdash. But then in Parshas Naso, when each Nasi dedicates the Mizbeach, that's to highlight the unique role in describing what might constitutes the very essence of the Mikdash as a whole. And that's the Mizbeach. And that is why the halacha is, we paskin this way, Shomati shemakriven karbanos afopi she'ein bayis. It's a Gemara in Megillah, daf Yud Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yeshua says, you don't need a Beis HaMikdash to be makav karbanos. All you need is Mizbeach on the Harabayit, and that's all you need. So as a result, this statement that when the Mizbeach was damaged is never repeated any place else. You know, if the Aron was damaged, nishkeferlach. If the Shulchan was damaged, I'm not saying it's the best thing in the world. But to pigam, the defect is not just in the utensil itself, but it actually impacts on the entire essence of a Mikdash and a Mishkan. Therefore, the Kohanim went out of their way to fill it in, although temporarily, because of the fact that it somehow negates not only the effectiveness of that utensil, but negates Kedushas Mikdash in general. So therefore, this particular story is significant because of the unique role that the Mizbeach plays. It's something that we wouldn't think of intuitively, to think that the most important kli in the Mikdash was not the Aron, but rather the Mizbeach, and hence it has its own sanctification in two locations, not just one location. Not everybody happens to agree with the Rambam that the purpose of the Mikdash is lahakriv korbanot. We recite every single time we have slichos. We say the pasuk in Yeshayahu. We read it every fast day. We'll read it on some Gedalia. That what is the bavi osim ahar kachi v'simachtim beisvelsi olosay v'zivchein l'ratzon amizbechi ki beisi beis tefillah yikarei l'cholo amim. The purpose of the bayis is to have a Beit Tefillah. That's what the purpose is. And Shlomo HaMelech, in his lengthy tefillah in Melachim Perek Ches, describes, why did I build this building? So that if somebody is ill, you'll come here to pray. If there will be a famine, you'll come here to pray. He even writes, Nachri, a Gentile who will have a need to express his or her concern unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should come to the Mikdash as well. If there will be Milchama, Dever Yeh Ba'aretz. So Shlomo HaMelech's vision is not necessarily that the purpose of a Mikdash is to offer Korbanot, but to have a central location where Tefillah can take place, where there's a tzinor, a pipe, directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ibn Ezra in the Chumash writes that the purpose of Mikdash is to create a building to symbolize Hashvaas Hashchina. V'asuli Mikdash v'shachanti v'salchan. That's the purpose of the, that's the very essence of the Mikdash. And others claim that the highlight of the Mikdash is to house the Sanhedrin HaGadol. That's the purpose of the Mikdash. That, all the other things are ancillary. Most important thing is that the Sanhedrin sits in the Beis HaMikdash, in the what's called a chamber called the Lishkas HaGazes, and the purpose of the Mikdash is to have the central body of Torah Shebaal Peh emerging from that to fulfill the Patsuk Ki Mitzion Teitzei Saira Udevar Hashem Mirushalayim. But this whole Mahalach fits in well with Shitas HaRambam, who claims that the purpose of Mikdash is Korbanos, and Mizbeach, and therefore this special concern about Pegimas HaMizbeach. We continue now on Daf Mem Tes Amar Av, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, third from the, Amar Rabba. Amar Rabba Barachana, Rabbi Yochanan.
What is a sovev?
The sovev is a ramp that surrounded the Mizbeach. And without that it's like not a ramp up to the Mizbeach, but a ledge, exactly. A ledge that surrounded the Mizbeach, and upon which the Kohen would walk around. That's where he would actually do the walk. Right. So if you don't have that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's also possible. Amar Abba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're going back to Nisuch HaYayin and Nisuch HaMayin. Shitin, the pipes into which the wine was poured, Misheshes Yimei Bereshes Nivra'u. They were created at the time of Masa Bereshes. Shine Emar, as the Pasuk says, Chamukei Yirei Chayich Kimo Chaloim Maase Yidei Amon. It's a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and the Drash is Elu HaShitim Kimo Chaloim shemuchulalim v'yordim adat home, and masa yidei aman zu masa yidei umenuto shel hakadosh baruch hu. The shitin, quoting this pasuk and darshening this pasuk in Shir HaShirim, were created by the master artisan. That's hakadosh baruch hu, and they were created already at the time of Masa Bereishis. Okay. Why would it be necessary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the Shitin of the Mizbeach before? It's a little difficult to understand, but such is the Drash of Rabba Bar Chana. Tana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Birei Shit, Al Tikrei Birei Shis, Ela Baroshis. He created Shisin, the Shitin. Okay, fine, very nice. And the Marshal explains that what's triggering his comment is that it could have said in the Chumash, Barishona bara Elohim es Hashemayim ves Haaretz. Why did it have to say Bereshis? Because it wants to darshin bara shis. Very nice. Okay. So in which case, once again, these Shitin were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Masa Bereishis. Time of Masa Bereishis. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shitin michulalin v'yodim atahom. These shitin go all the way down into the, what is tahom? The very center, the underground, the what? The depths.
The abyss.
The what? The abyss. They go down into, all the way into the center of the earth. Shine emar, ashirana lididi, shiras dodi lecharmo, kerem haya lididi, bekeren ben shemen. Vayizakeyu, vayisakleyu, vayitaeyu soreik, vayivden migdol besochol, vegam yakev chatzev bo, vayikav laasos anavim, vayas beushim. That's very nice pasuk. And the drash is elu hashitin. Okay, these are the shitin. So that's very nice. They went all the way down. Okay, and they somehow dashed it from this pasuk by yisakleyu, vayitoeyu sorek, vayiven migdol besocho. That's as if the shitin carved out a stone. By yisakleyu, they carved out the stone as if they're going down to the very center of the world. And in fact, there are several such opinions. Not everybody agrees that. That the shitin were made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Later on we will see Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok's opinion, who says that they were man-made. In fact, David HaMelech made these shitin. And some claim that they didn't go all the way down to the Tahom. We'll see that in a second. So there are a variety of opinions about the shitin, whether they were man-made, made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I can't spend a lot of time on these on this. That's what it says. Fine. Now we'll get to something very, very significant. Tanya Amar Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok. Lul Katan Haya Ben Kevesh LeMizbeach. There was a little gap between the ramp and the Mizbeach itself. So as you are up the escalator, coming up to Kevesh, an announcement was made. Watch your step. There's a little gap here.
Mind the gap.
Mind the gap, exactly. Be careful, because the ramp itself apparently did not reach the flush up against the Mizbeach. There was a little gap, which he calls a lul. It was Bimaravo Shel Mizbeach. V'achas L'Shivim Shana. And once every 70 years, Pirche Kehuna Yordin Lasham, the little Kohanim would go into it. And again, the Meiri claims that the gap was not big enough for any human being to go in, but the gap was big enough for a little kid to stick his hand into this little gap. Umilaktin Misham Yayin Karush, and they would pick up or collect from there coagulated wine, shidome liigule devela, that look like pressed figs, ubain visorfin also bedusha, and then they would go ahead and take the this pressed figs, which was really coagulated wine, and then burn it either on the mizbeach or somewhere else in the Mikdash. Shine emar bakodesh haseich nesech sheichor lashem. We just read this 2 days ago, or yesterday. And the drash is, kishem shenisucho bikdusha, just as the nisuch hayayin was done bikdusha, kach sreifaso, so too its burning should be done Bikdusha. Based on the phrase Bakodesh Haseich Nesech Sheichor Lashem. That's excellent. That's the Maros Kasha. My mashma. Where in that phrase is there any indication that they burnt anything? That's the Gemara's next question. Amar Avina Asya Kodesh Kodesh. That is a Gzeirah Shavah somehow indicate that this particular pasuk indicates Reifa. Ksiv hacha bakodesh haseich nesech. Uksiv hasam v'sarafta es hanosar ba'esh lo yochal ki kodeshu. That nosar, anything that's left over beyond its prescribed time, should be burnt in fire. Why? Because it's holy. Ki kodeshu. So the word ki kodesh appears. And in our pasuk it says, Bakodesh haseich nesach shechar. So you make a gzerushava of kodesh kodesh. Just as the word kodesh by nosar is instructed, what are you supposed to do with it? Visarafta, burn it. So too, the word bakodesh, haseich, nesech, referring to the what? To the wines which were poured, they have to be burnt as well. They have to be burnt as well. So Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok has two chidushim here. Number one, the wine, the shittin, did not go all the way down to the tahom. Because if they went all the way down to the home, trust me, no Pirchei Kahuna can stick his hands and get it. That would be impossible. So he disagrees with that halalacha. It was does not go down to the tahom. The shittin were on ground level, somehow, on the level of the mizbeach. You pour the wine in, and you know some of it got a little coagulated, and as a result, it was possible to scrape up this coagulated wine, which then had to be subsequently burnt on the mizbeach. That is what Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok says. And we now have to see. What the significance of this particular halacha is. Why do you have to burn something after the avodah was already done? What's the purpose of this sreifa after the mitzvah had already been done? What's the mitzvah of the ayin? To pour it on the mizbeach. No, I poured it into the shittin. Why do I have to subsequently burn it? So we'll read another line of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Kiman Azla, who does this operate according to? The Sanya, Nisachim Bitchila Moalin Bohen. Yardu Lashitin Ein Moalin Bohen. So now, who might be the author of this particular statement? Lema Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadoki. Dei Rabbanan lo hanachtuhu l'tahom. See, the Rabbanan, the first opinion, the majority of the opinion, accepts the first Rash of Rabbi Baruch Hanan, who says that where did the shittin wind up? All the way into the tahom. Once it winds up all the way into the tahom, as we said, there ain't no way for anybody to gain access to it. So if there's no way to gain access to it, obviously, what do you not have to do? You don't have to burn it. So the author of the opinion that says that you would burn it, who must be the author of that opinion? Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok. Would be Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok. And we're going to elaborate upon this in a second. So the Gemara thinks that the author of the Braisa of Nisachin Betchila Moalin Bohen, Yardu L'shitin Ein Moalin Bohem, that must be Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok. Now, why is the Me'isa Me'ila, is that dependent on Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok? Why, according to the Chachamim, you can't have a position, a halacha, why would you not need a halacha to tell me that according to the Chachamim, you're not Moel after the Nisach HaMayim? What does the Braisa say? Because you can't get to it. So I need a Braisa to tell me that the Issa Me'ila doesn't apply. You know, and if the Issa Me'ila would apply, who's going to get to it? It's all the way down at the Tahom. So if you have a Braisa which says that the Issa Me'ila exists initially and then is terminated once the Nisuch takes place, must be that there at least is a theoretical possibility for what? for Me'ilah to take place. Well, that can only happen according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzaddah. Because according to the Chachamim, where the sheet didn't go all the way to the home, it's impossible to gain access to it. So I don't need a halacha to tell me there's no Issa Me'ilah. There's no Issa Me'ilah because it's inaccessible. Must be that the halacha is like that. This brisa is formulated according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzaddah, who says that in theory you can get to the yayin which had been poured. Must be that doesn't go all the way down to the home. And now you have to tell me that even though the yayin is accessible to you, once you poured it in, the Issa Me'ilah doesn't apply any longer. That's what this brisa is saying. That's what this price is saying.
If you're talking about coagulated wine for a while, presumably even at the beginning of the spout or hole that the wine goes down, there could have been coagulated drops of wine there.
Oh, so you're saying it's not compelling that it has to be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's the Gemara's rejection. Very good. I'm glad everybody cheated tonight and read the Gemara. It's good. It's good, you're thinking. That's exactly the Gemara's point. Says the Gemara, no, what I just said is not true. Afilu teima rabbanan. This halacha of distinguishing with the wine, that before it's subject to the Issa of Me'ilah, and now, after it's poured, it's not subject to the Issa Me'ilah, can even apply according to the Rabbana. How? Bide'iklat. Bide'iklat. What does iklat mean? I put in a little utensil into the sheetin. I took a little cup, and I suspended it with a little string. And now what happens? I poured the wine into the sheetin. But it ain't all going down into the Tahom. Why ain't it all going down into the Tahom? Because I have a little utensil there which is gathering it up. So, and now that statement has to make sense even according to the Rabbanan. Namely, that when, before I go ahead and pour the Yayin, and I had personal pleasure from it, I will violate the Issa Me'ilah. But once I poured it in, even though I subsequently retrieve it through a utensil, but the iklat, now when I subsequently retrieve it, it is no longer subject to the Isra of Me'ilah.
Where is this wine that we're talking about that's iklat?
It's in a cup, in a utensil.
Which is where?
I stuck a utensil into the sheetin.
What, to pour the wine down?
Why? Because I'm crazy. Because I want to get some of the wine that was poured. I think it's going to be a good skula. Exactly. It's a good skula.
He says after 70 years of pouring wine down the sheet,
right,
it coagulates into the
God. That's what he said. According to the Rabbanan, you don't have to wait 70 years. You don't have to wait until it coagulates. Because what's happening? What's happening? I placed a little utensil, a little cup into the sheetin, and now when I poured the wine into the sheetin, some of it is going to go all the way down to the home. But some of it is now going to get collected in this utensil. Now I take my little string and I bring it up. So I want to know, when I use this wine, for whatever reason, will I violate the Issa Me'ilah? Says the Gemara, it will not violate. Why? Because the Misuch already took place. And as the Gemara will say in a second, once the mitzvah has already been done, the Issa Me'ilah is paka. The Issa Me'ilah is already gone.
No longer.
What?
No longer.
So, that right now, the Gemara is saying, we initially suggested that the Braisa, which distinguishes between before the Nisuch and after the Nisuch, could only be formulated according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzaddah. Now says the Gemara, no, afilu teima rabbanan b'di'iklat. That, yeah?
Who did this? It was some kohen?
That's exactly.
Isn't it hektish though? I mean, it was dedicated, the yayin was dedicated for
100%.
And now it's over hektish at all.
That's what we're going to talk about in 2 seconds. One thing we know for sure is that there is no Issa Me'ilah. That we know. That's what the Brisa says. Nisachim b'tchila moin bahem, yardu l'shitin ein moalin bahem. So now you might think that this little kayan cutie who had the utensil stuck there, he's going to drag it up and what? And he's going to use it now. Because there's no Issa Me'ilah. We'll talk about it in 2 seconds. But all thus far, what the Gemara is doing is claiming that it doesn't have to be formulated only according to Rabbi Elazar Rab Tzadok, who claims that the Shitin did not go down to the Tahom. It could even be formulated according to the Chachamim who believe that the Shitin go all the way down to the center of the earth. So how in the world did this Kayin get it? He suspended a little utensil, and then as the wards were being pawned, he collated, he gathered it, and then pulled it up. Two more lines, and then we'll elaborate. The Iko de Amri, there is another version how to understand this particular halacha. There is another version how to understand this particular halacha. Lema Rabbanani. Let us suggest initially that the Braisa which says Bitchila Mosgit, Bitchila Moalin, and once you pour it Ein Moalin, could only be understood according to the Rabbanan. Why? Lema Rabbanani, Velo Rabbalaz Rab Tzadok. The Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, akati b'kedushah sayu kaimi. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, what did Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok say you're supposed to do once you bring up whatever it is, regular wine or coagulate? What do you have to do with it? You have to sorafe it. Now that should tell you something. That if you still have to burn something, it still has kedushah. And if it has Kedusha, you can't use it for your own personal use. So if you can't use it for your personal use, what would be? So should the Issur Me'ilah still be intact? Yes. Therefore, the Gemara suggests that the Braisa, which tells us that initially the Issur Me'ilah applies by Nisu Chayayim, but after you pour it in, it no longer applies. Who can be the author of that Braisa? Only the Rabbana. Because the Rabbana never heard of this business that after you pour the wine, what happens? The rest has to be what? Has to be burnt. Because the Rabbana wouldn't worry about that. Because where do they believe the wine's going? Into the sheep. Into the Tahom. And if it's going to the Tahom, I don't have to worry about such a thing. So this little cutie Kayin, who somehow pulled an end around and fooled us, and somehow took the wine out, the only reason why we might be able to use it is because the Rabbanan said there is nothing further to do with wine once it was poured into the sheep. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, who says that there is something to do with the wine after it has been poured into the sheep, what happens? It coagulates it. A little Kayan takes his hand in and grabs it out. And then what do you do with it? You burn it. Well, if you still have to burn it, it still is kadosh. If it still is kadosh, perhaps you will violate the Issur Me'ilah even after Yardu L'Shitin. So the Gemara thinks in this version that the author of this particular Braisa can only be the Rabbanan, not Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, exactly the opposite of the way we formulated it initially. Answers the Gemara, no. Afilu Tema Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. Why? Ein licha davar shenasa mitzvaso umoalin bo. There is nothing in the mikdash which once the mitzvah has already been performed that the Issur Me'ilah should still apply. There is no such thing. Therefore, listen carefully. Even though Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok claims that the remnants, the scrap, the coagulated wine must be burned, that doesn't mean that the mitzvah hasn't already been done. The mitzvah of Me'ilah of Nisuch has already been done. And once the mitzvah of Nisuch has already been done, there is no Issa Me'ila. Therefore, the Braisa is not limited only to the Rabbanan. The Braisa could be formulated even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok. So says the Gemara. Now, what difficulty will emerge according to this last interpretation? What difficulty will emerge? What difficulty? What? It's a Braisa. This Braisa. Mo'alin Bahan? Yardun Lashit and Ein Mo'alin Bahan. So the Gemara is now saying that this Braisa can even work out according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok. Because even Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok has to admit that the halacha is, once an avoda has been completed, the Issa Me'ila is paka. So what is the avoda with the yayin? What do we call the avoda with the yayin? Nisuch hayayin. So once you poured it, the nisuch has been done. The halacha is, once something is na'ases mitzvaso, the Issur Me'ila doesn't apply. The Issur Me'ila doesn't apply. For example, I'll give you something. The Gemara says here, Visarafta es, the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Nosar. Okay? So the meat of a korban that was left over beyond its prescribed time. Kachim kachim, beyond the day and the night. Kachim kalim, such as shlomim, 2 days and a night. Very nice. So the Torah says you should burn it. I burnt it and it's been converted into ashes. Now ashes, azay zukmin, is good for fertilizer. That's what people say. Ashes are good for fertilizer. Can I take the ashes of this bisar nosar that was burnt and use it as ashes for my own personal backyard? Am I allowed? The answer is yes. Why? Because once I followed the Torah's instruction to burn it, ein l'cha me'ila l'acha shenasis mitzvaso. The Torah told me to burn it. That's exactly what I did. Obviously, the ashes are mutter. Afron mutter. Afron mutter. The afer happens to be mutter. It happens to be a mishnah in Temura. Kol hanisrafin afron mutter. Anytime something is burnt, the Torah says you're supposed to burn it. Once the sreifa has taken place, the afer is mutter. Now, if that's the case, and we just said that even Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok says that the Issa Me'ila is removed as soon as you pour it, why then does Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddok say that when you scrape out the coagulated wine, what do you have to do with it? You have to burn it. Why? What have to burn it? I did the mitzvah. Once the mitzvah has been done, the Issa Me'ila is gone. So why can't I use it? Why do I have to burn it for? What? Okay, but like you're right. But vazok the gzeiros hakasev. What does the gzeiros hakasev tell us? You're right. It's a gzeiros hakasev. So you mean to tell me that here it's a gzeiros hakasev running against the halacha? What's happening in the interim stage? What's happening in the interim stage? So apparently, what's happening is as follows. There are two perspectives. Some say that this whole drash of Bakodesh, Haseich, Nesech, Sheikho Lashem, and the Gemara is inventing a Gzeir Shava, Kikoideshem, is only an Asmachta, it's only a Din Rabbanan. Midoraisa, this halacha doesn't exist. Why doesn't it exist? Because there is a halacha all over Kachin. Once Nasis Mitzvaso, that's it. That's it. It's been taken care of. The Issur Me'ila is paka, and I don't have to burn anything once I fulfill the mitzvah. By Nosar, the Torah doesn't tell you what to do with it. What is the only instruction which the Torah tells you to do by Nosar? Burn it. So the mitzvah is to burn. By Yayin, the Torah tells you what to do with the Yayin. It doesn't say to burn it. It says to pour it on the Mizbeach. Well, I did pour it on the Mizbeach. So therefore, some Rishonim claim that this whole derivation which we just had is nothing but an Asmachta Balma. And so it's hard for me to explain how a Gemara or a Rishon now says that that which the Gemara presents as a Gzeirah Shavah is a joke. It's not real Gzeirah Shavah. It's not to be taken seriously. And like, he made up this Gzeirah Shavah himself. That's a little difficult. I can say it about any Gzeirah Shavah. Don't take it seriously. I don't have a good handle why a Rishon would say that this particular derivation is not to be taken seriously and the whole thing is in Asmachta Ba'ama. I can't explain it conceptually, logically to you. I can just tell you what a whole group of Rishonim say about it. And therefore the issue is no longer an issue. I don't have to worry about how to understand what's happening because it's only the Rabbana. Okay, the Rabbana, they can do whatever they darn please. They can do whatever they want. There's nothing to worry about. However, not everybody agrees with that. Not everyone agrees with that. And they claim that it is possible to entertain a two-stage process. Namely, something can have avoda done, the avoda was done, the Isur Mi'ila will be paka, but yet the item still retains some degree of Kedusha, which precludes you from using it on a personal level, despite the fact that if I did use it on a personal level, I won't violate the Isur Mi'ila. They introduce like another prong, another level. Namely, something can be reduced when the mitzvah was done. Something is eliminated. What is eliminated? The Isur Mi'ila. But that doesn't mean that you're allowed to lichatchila use it for your own personal use, for your own sgulis or whatever else. That can't be done. In order to do that, you have to, in effect, get rid of the cheftza itself. Once the item itself has been destroyed, any remnants of that you can use for your personal use. That's why I always keep using the ashes, the afer. Because once you burn it, we believe that the item in its original form is no longer there, therefore you can use it. But until it's burnt, and that's what the Pasuk is saying, Visarafto Soboesh, and that's the Gzereshav Bakodesh Bakodesh, that every time you do an Avoida in the Mikdash, that does not necessarily mean that you're allowed to use the remnant for your personal use. No, you can't. Indeed, the Isur Me'ila has been terminated. But as long as the Cheftza is still, Be'en, is still around, personal use is prohibited. When will personal use be permissible? Only after the Sreifa. Because once the Sreifa takes place, the article is no longer the same, it's been changed, and as a result, under those circumstances, I can use it. So the Gemara here is now debating this particular issue. Namely, what is the issue at hand? Can I conceptually agree or entertain the possibility that even though the mitzvah has already been performed and the Isur Me'ila has been stripped, can there be an Isur De'oraisa for your personal use or not? So the first version which says that is ridiculous. Once the Isur Me'ila has been removed, mid the Oraisa, the item is completely, perfectly permissible, and the whole requirement is only with the Rabbanan. Okay, at the Rabbanan, I don't have to have logic. The Rabbanan do lots of things which are difficult to understand. No problem. The second perspective says no, that there is a two-tier Isur. One is an Isur Me'ila, and that is in effect until the mitzvah has been done. Number two, even after the Isur has been performed, the item is still around. Once the item is still around, the Torah still mandates and prohibits personal use from it. So the Gzeirah Shavah is telling you, how do you terminate that? You follow the prescription as is done by Noisar. You burn it. Ba'kodesh haseich nesach shechel Hashem. I will make this Gzeirah Shavah of Kodesh. And now if the Kohen wants to take the ashes of the remnants of the coagulated wine and he wants to use that of a segula to rub it on the chassan's head at the time of a wedding as a symbol of Avelus, That's what he can do with it. Anything else can't be used for that. That's also a possibility. It's also a possibility. It's hard to understand it, but it is a possibility. That is correct. That's exactly what you... Precisely. It's an Isra Hanah, but it's not related to what? To the... Right. And I'll tell you what the Brisker Rav says, how it's to be understood. Take something for which... Everything that is donated to the Beis HaMikdash has what's called Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Bedek HaBayis means something that is under the roof, under the control, under the ownership of the Beis HaMikdash. Then there is a separate Kedusha called Kedushas Mizbeach. Not everything in the Mikdash has Kedushas Mizbeach. For example, if I donate this type recorder to the Beis HaMikdash, it will be endowed with Kedushas Mikdash. But what type of Kedushas Mikdash? Only Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. So, one thing that is subject, its pidyon is possible. The Beis HaMikdash doesn't have much need for this tape recorder. So they will hold a public auction. I will now take out money. We will evaluate what it's worth. I will add chamishiso yosif alav. I will add a fifth. I'll give the money to the Beis HaMikdash. I can take the tape recorder home, and the money is used for welfare and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Certain other things, if I donate a behemoth to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, it has two kedushas. One is that it's bedek habayis. I donated it to the Mikdash. But on the other aspect, it's also kachay mizbeach. It's also kachay mizbeach. Says the Brisker Rav, nasis mitzvaso only removes what element of it? The kedushas mizbeach. The kedusha of the mizbeach has been taken care of because I did what the Torah told me to do with that halacha. I was makriv on the mizbeach. I poured it on the wine. I offered the ketor, whatever the Torah tells you to do. But it's still kadosh with kedushas bedek habayis, and as a result, it cannot be used because it still belongs to the mikdash. Hence, in order to terminate that, you have to eliminate it entirely. Entirely, so claims the Brisker Rav in explaining this particular gemara.
So, is mi'ila only with kadosh bedek mikdash or both?
No, you could have both. In fact, it's both. Me'ila applies both. But after the mitzvah has been done, the Issa Me'ila is gone.
Then I should have the mitzvah to burn it, I can dig on it.
That's correct. But here, the Gzeris HaKasuv is, under normal circumstances, I should have been able to be poded. That's correct. But here, the Gzeris HaKasuv of Bakodesh says, no, that option doesn't avail. You have to burn it.
You just said that the Me'ila applies to either Kodesh.
Correct.
So then why?
Because once it's Nasis Mitzvaso, that cancels the Issa Me'ila.
But only, why does it cancel the Issa Me'ila? You just said it still has its other hat.
Correct, but it doesn't have the Issa Me'ila because the halacha is, once the mitzvah has been done, the Issa Me'ila is paka. Issa Me'ila is paka.
So then what is our Mishnah teaching us? What is that Mishnah teaching us according to the Brisker Rav?
The Bryce is telling... That's very nice. The Bryce is telling... No, the Bryce is telling me that once I poured the wine, the mitzvah has been done, the Issa Me'ila is paka. That doesn't mean I can use it for my personal use. Here, the Torah is telling you, I want you to do something else with it. I want you to burn it. Under ordinary circumstances, what would I put in it? Like you said, I could have redeemed it. And used it for my personal... Paid the money and used it.
It just seems like it's a little bit much because
I grant you that.
The Mishnah is just aim all and all.
I grant you that. That's why those whole group of Rishonim say was the first position. It's only with the Rabbanon. Mita Oraisa, there is no such thing. It's a two-pronged level. It's either Me'ila or no Me'ila. Either you can use it because there is no Issa Me'ila, or you can't use it because there is an Issa Me'ila. Exactly. On a Doraisa level, it's all gone. The Rabbanon said, okay, fine. I can't explain it. Can't explain it.
What's going on, though, that it seems like on the sides and in Tosfos they talk about it that it's a Braisa or it's a Mishnah?
Yeah, right. Tosfos says that it's a Mishnah, not a Braisa. Okay.
But then he says this gear, here says Iker. And on the side on the left it says, Sarath Blomar did not. So he also thinks that it should be better said a Mishnah or it's a Braisa.
Well, our Gemara seems to say it's a Braisa, and Tosis is pointing out, no, it's a Mishnah. So all you got to do is look it up. I was lazy and I didn't look it up. All right, so check it in Me'ilah. So. Yeah. Yeah, I omitted one other thing that I wanted to tell you about the Mizbeach, which we did before, is an interesting statement of the Rambam, where the Rambam writes in Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Beis Yud Zayin, the Rambam writes, Midas Orko Umidas Rachbo Ein Ma'akvin. The length and width of the Mizbeach, despite the fact that we have prescribed measurements in the Chumash, they're not ma'akev. What? Oh, hold on. That's one second. However, in Halacha Lamed Gimel, same Perek, Perek Beis, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Rambam writes, Midos HaMizbeach Michuvanos Harbe, a very specified, very miduyak, Vitsuraso Yidua Ish Mipi Ish. Vitsuraso Yidua Ish Mipi Ish. Its shape is known. Every person from one generation, everybody knows it. And everybody is somewhat perplexed as to what in the world is the Rambam saying in this halacha. First of all, the tzura, I don't need ish mipi ish. It's a pasuk in Parashat Tzava. It says ravua yeah. It's got to be a square. What's he adding that midos hamizbeach michuvanos are very precise? If 12 halachas earlier, what did you say? That the midos are not ma'akev. What's going on? What's the Rambam saying? So, here again, the Brisker Rav suggests that what the Rambam here is saying is, as long as you maintain the ratio between what? The width, the length, and the height, no problem whatsoever. And that's what he means, mechuvanos me'od, very meduya. So you start off with the midos of the Mishkan in Parashat Tzaveh. So it's Amo v'chetzi orko, Amo v'chetzi rachba, Amo v'chetzi kamaso, and now you can go as much as you want. As long as you maintain the ratio, that's perfectly okay. But so that the Brisker Rav adds that. But he doesn't really explain what does the Rambam have in mind, Vitsu raso yidua ish mipi ish. I don't know exactly what he had. I looked around a little. Tsurato, its shape is known from person to person. Ish mipi ish means it sounds like it's tradition. You just ask this kind, you ask your father, you ask your grandfather, he'll tell you what it is. I mean, it's a pasuk in the Chumash, it says Ravua here. I mentioned it last week. It's a little difficult to understand. Another line, Amar Rish Lakish. Bizman sheminaskin yayin al gabe mizbeach, pokikin es hashitin, lekayim mashine emar, bakodesh, haseich, nesech, sheikh olashem. When they do the nisuch hayayin, pokikin. So Rash, take a look at Rashi. Pokikin es hashitin. Es nekev shebarosh hamizbeach shehanisachim yordin bo l'shitin. Sheyeroeh hayayin alav kigaron mole visaveya. What happened? There was this, the shitin are little pipes that go into the mizbeach and all the way down. But that's not the way they entered the shitin. The shitin were the wine went into a funnel, which led directly into the shitin. But the mouth into which the funnel was very, very wide. Why? No, that's not the reason it gives. Sure, it should look like a guy who's drinking to get drunk. That's the expression that he's going to... Nesech Sheikhar Lashem. Now, when a guy gets drunk, what does he do? He takes the bottle and he pours... You know, it's gushing out. Right? He's like in all the movies, right? He takes the bottle, he's drinking the whole thing out at one time. It's not coming out a drop, tipa, a little drop. So the way the yayin should be menusach al gabi hamizbeach is as if nesech sheichor lashem. Let's read the next line. My mashma, how does this mean? Amarav papar, sheichor lashin shesia means drinking, lashin sviya it means to be satiated, and lashin shikrus to get drunk. For the life of me, I just don't understand why in the world the Mizbeach has to generate an impression as if the Mizbeach is getting drunk. We don't look at Shikrus as a very positive value. We really don't. We really don't. You read the Rambam, who says that if you daven in Hilchos Tefillah, if you daven when you're drunk, Tefillah to eva. Tefillah is abomination, an abomination. And all the Chachmei HaMusar, you know, we say on Tisha B'Av, Shchura v'lo miyayin. You should be drunk, intoxicated for the love of Tzion, but not from wine. Shchura v'lo miyayin, not from wine. Intoxicated with your love for Tzion, we say on Tisha B'Av. So I don't really have a good explanation. Again, I looked around a little. Why in the world is this a value to darshan nesach sheikhar that the nisach hayayin has to look as shikr, shikrus?
Rashi says,
yeah, that I know. That it, I know. When you drink a lot of wine, you get happy. Okay, but it's just the imagery of shikrus is not exactly, I don't know. You know, simcha, sviya, I can understand. Satiated, simcha, but that's the way you get shikr. That's the way you get happy, by drinking a little too much wine. But, you know, in our day and age, I wouldn't go popularizing this. This is not something that you want to herald and announce. Right.
Is it more about the enthusiasm? Gulping it down,
could be. Today we have to go overboard and not highlight any time being drunk. I always preach this around Purim time, always, that if Rabbanim had any guts, they would make an announcement that the halacha on Purim is like the Rabbeinu Ephraim, the famous Rabbeinu Ephraim. You remember that? Of course, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, who says in the Gemara and Megillah, where Rava, everyone knows the famous story, Rava and Rab Zera was invited to his house, and he got drunk and he killed him. Right? And then Rab Zera was mispalel, and Rava's head was attached. Next year, he invites him to his house, and he says, I'm not relying on any more miracles. I'll have Simchas Purim on my own. So, whenever you have a story, in the Gemara after a halacha, the Gemara says, Chayiv adol lebesumei bapuri adol lo yada, supposed to get drunk. So now the Gemara quotes this story. So the Rabbein Ephraim, quoted by the Baal Amar, asks, why did the Gemara quote this story after the halacha, you're supposed to get drunk? To teach you how dangerous it is to get drunk. Look what happened. Rava was assassinated by Rav Zeira. And that the halacha is, you're not allowed to get drunk. That's what the Rabbeinu Ephraim says. That's the purpose. Today, we have to publicize the Rabbeinu Ephraim's halacha. That it can't get drunk, no matter what. No matter what. Too many tragedies have taken place with people who are just getting drunk on Purim. And I always tell people, anyone doesn't get drunk, when you come up to 120, tell the Rabbeinu Shalom to see me. Tell me something. I'll be happy to accept that achrayus. If anybody who didn't get drunk on Purim, I'll be happy to accept that achrayus.
Skip that mitzvah.
Yeah. All right. We'll stop here. We'll continue next to Bach. Hold on. Next week is Washington's birthday. We're going to have a shir Monday night. Are we having a shir? Are people going to come? Yeah?
You got to get drunk to celebrate Washington's birthday.
Okay. Bob? There's a Ranger game? I know there's a Ranger. No, it's Sunday night. They're playing Sunday night. I think they're playing Sunday night because I'm...